Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
I'd like to greet you all from wherever you are at this time. I'm really thankful to God for this opportunity for us to be able to look into His Word together, to learn from it, to be instructed from this Word, and to take this Word and be able to apply it in our lives. Let's take some time to pray, but I think it's necessary once again for us to just bow down before our God and just ask once again for His help. Let's pray. Our dear God and our Father in heaven, Lord, You are great. You alone are God. You are at work in this whole universe, Lord. You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for men that were not deserving, men like us. And Lord, You are continuing just to work in us to conform us to the image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand here, Lord, this afternoon, we are dependent on You. We are reliant, oh Lord God, for just on You to give us the understanding of Your Word. Lord, unless You open our eyes, we cannot be able to see what You want us to see. And so, Lord, that's why we come before You and say, Lord, in this time, may by Your Spirit, oh God, Father, just apply this Word in our hearts that we may be able to understand it, be able to take it, be able to apply it in our lives, Lord, that we may be able to grow. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you move the mic up a little bit? Thanks. That's all.
The letter we are looking at here today is written by Paul. This book to the Ephesians. Unlike some letters which Paul wrote, this letter was not written to address issues in the church, but to encourage the believers. Paul does this by celebrating the accomplishment of God's purposes in Christ. And he also informs the Ephesians of how he is praying for them. Our focus for today is going to be on the second prayer that we find here in this chapter 3 that we have just read, that Paul mentions in this section. I want us to see that just like the Ephesians, for what Paul is praying for here, we also need God's power to grow in Christ, in our love for Him and in our love for others, and in knowing His love. My hope is that by the end of today, we all can live desiring and praying for the same for ourselves and for other believers. We will do this by looking at two requests that Paul makes. And as we have read there in chapter number 3, verse 14 to verse 21, and I think it would be good for us to just read it again, just so we can see the focus of where we're going to be spending our time this afternoon. It says there, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, more than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In this prayer, we see that Paul here, he prays that the believers may be strengthened with power. That is the first thing that we see. The second thing that you see is that he prays that the believers may have the power to grasp Christ's love for them. His prayer starts with the word "for this reason." By saying this, Paul wants us to know the basis of his prayer. It is safe to say that we can't understand the request that Paul is about to make without understanding the basis of this prayer. So you may ask, what is this reason that is referring to? To find the reason, we have to look back to what comes before verse 14. In verse 1 of this chapter, where we read, we see there the words, "for this reason." Clearly, Paul wanted to start his prayer in verse 1. But somehow it goes off to talk about the mystery of the gospel of which he was made the minister of. And when he is done talking about the ministry, the mystery, he returns to his original idea, the original thought that he had here now in verse number 14. So we have to look at chapter number 2. Instead of looking from verse 13 going back to verse 1, we have to actually go back to chapter number 2 to understand the basis from which Paul prays. Because that is where the thought originated from. It comes from what he just explained in that chapter. And to summarize chapter number 2, there Paul talked about the grace of God shown to believers who have been made alive in Christ. And second, that the Gentiles and the Jews have been made one in Christ through the Spirit and are being built together into a dwelling place of God. There is no more hostility, but there is oneness. Believers united together in Christ, who is the head. Paul sees and understands God's purpose in saving believers through Christ, and he cannot help it, but he bows before the Father in reverence and in adoration. Paul is definitely excited by what God is doing in believers. And so, it brings his request for believers before the Father. Paul knows God's purposes, and so he wants what God wants for believers. He wants to see believers maturing, united in love, made holy, and conforming to the image of Christ. The basis for this reason, the basis of Paul's prayer was his knowledge of God's purpose in Christ. And we see here the first thing that now he prays for. His first request is that believers may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. When you go to chapter number 1, verse 19 to 20, Paul already mentioned the power which is at work in believers. The same power which raised Christ from the dead is the same power which works in believers. This power is worked by the Spirit, who is given to all believers. And Paul has already told us that we have a seal, which is the Holy Spirit. And he mentions that in chapter number 1, verse 13. If you are a believer today, you have the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit works in believers, in the inner man. It works inside of you. He reinforces believers on the inside. This is the area that Paul is most concerned about. He's most interested in our inner being, to see us being reinforced, given the strength, made strong on the inside. Not on the outside. He does not pray for physical strength or health. It is not to say that these are not important. They are. But there's much more important things for believers in light of what God is doing in Christ. And it is for this reason that even Paul in 2 Corinthians 14:16 could say that though the outside may be wasting away due to trials, the inner man can still be renewed, because the inner man is focused on eternity, on what can be seen by the physical eyes. And so Paul prays for believers to be made strong, given the strength by the power that comes from God through His Spirit. We need God's power to help us to live the life that God has called us to live. But why does Paul desire this for believers? Why does he desire this for the believers? We read there, it is so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Paul wants believers to have Christ dwell in their hearts. Their heart speaks of the center of our being, of what controls all that we do. But what is this that Paul requests here, you may ask? I thought Christ comes in the hearts of believers when we come to salvation. The Ephesians were saved. We know they are believers. They were saved. They had Christ. So was Paul praying that Christ may come into their hearts again? No. And the hint for us is found in this word translated here, dwell. The word dwell speaks of a permanent habitation, taking a permanent residence. Paul is speaking of Christ making a home in believers so they, as they trust Him. As it says there, it's through faith. Believers need the power of God in order to trust Christ and to have Him be at home, making His home in their hearts, directing everything that they do. We don't only need God to help us believe at salvation. Yes, we know we cannot be saved apart from the work of God in our lives. But we don't only need God when we come to salvation. We also need His help to continue to trust Christ. Unlike human beings, when we are born as babies, we are fully dependent on our parents. But the older we grow, we become more and more independent until we can stand on our own. But not so the Christian life. When we start as babies at the point of salvation, we need Christ. When we mature, we need Christ. The older we grow, we realize more and more and more our need for Christ. We need Christ more as we grow, and we cannot do life without Him. You cannot do Christian life without Christ. We cannot get to a point where we say, we are fine, we get this, we are under control. Ask older believers. They will tell you, the older you grow, the more of Christ you will see, and the more of Christ you will need. So Paul prays for the Ephesians that they may be strengthened with power on the inside, that Christ may make His home in their hearts. But what does Christ do when He's dwelling in the hearts of believers? Why does Paul want Christ to be in their hearts? What does He do when Christ is in the heart of believers? When He has taken up His residence? And I'm sure you know what the answer to that question would be. Right? Because Christ is King, guess what He's doing? He's ruling. He governs all actions. He governs all thoughts, all words, all motives. He controls everything that the believers do as they live trusting Him. When Christ takes His permanent residence in believers, He governs it all, He influences all, and He rules it all. We are no longer ruled by our desires when we have Christ dwelling in us. We are no longer ruled by our passions or by the world. We don't follow the world anymore. We are ruled by Christ. We are led by Christ. And Paul is not talking here of something that he did not know. He tested this for himself. And that is why he could say in Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He lived his life by faith. Paul trusted Christ, doing everything that Christ desired for him. All of Paul's life was ruled by Christ. And so he desired the same for the believers, for the Ephesians, for us. We need the power of God to strengthen us in our inner being so we can have Christ dwelling us, helping us to trust Christ, to have Christ controlling everything that we do. He wants us to desire Christ and to be given this power to have Christ rule us. If we'll grow to maturity, we need Christ and to grow in our knowledge of Him. Is there anything better though? Is there anything better than having Christ controlling every area of your life as a believer? Isn't that what we all should be desiring? To have Christ control us? To have Christ rule every area of our lives? Is there any area in your life that you'd say, hey, yeah, I do not want Christ? Is it not a blessing to have Christ saturated by Christ? Moved, controlled by Christ? Church, God has predestined us. Paul has already told us in Romans 8:29. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Are we there yet? No. And it is the reason why we should desire this and pray for ourselves and for other believers, that we may grow to be conformed to the image of His Son. And Christ is able to work that in us as He takes His place in our hearts, directing everything that we do. That there be more and more of Christ and less of us in how we do life. To be strengthened in our inner man so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Christ will change us as He guides us. Christ will change you as He guides you. As you behold Him, as you follow Him, you just become more and more like Him. That is what the Word tells us. We see at the end of verse 17, it says, being rooted and grounded in love. When Christ controls us, we cannot help it but be a people who are characterized by love. When Christ dwells in the hearts of believers, they cannot help but be characterized by love. For believers, everything we do comes from love, should come from love. Our relationship with God is based on love. Our relationship with others should be based on love. One thing that should define us as believers is love. Just like a tree that is firmly planted with its roots deep into the soil, and a building that stands on solid foundation, so is the result of a believer who is rooted and grounded in love. He is stable and he is healthy. In Christ, God is making one new man, bringing Gentiles and Jews together, the slaves and the free, black and white, men and women. No more divisions in Christ. And when we have Christ dwelling in us, the natural thing for us will be to give ourselves sacrificially to serving others in the body of Christ, of whom is the head. And this is possible, church. And we see that Paul wants his request to be answered according to the abundance of God's glory. God has resources in abundance secured for believers in Christ. It is to those resources that Paul requests for God to supply and supply what believers need to mature in Christ, to have him dwell, to have him take his place, to have him be characterized and moved and act from love. That is what we see with from the first thing that Paul is praying for. He prays for believers to be strengthened with power in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts, and so that they may be rooted and grounded in love. That requires the power of God. We need that. We need God's power to help us do that. Now the second thing we see from this prayer, from verse 18 to 19. The second thing, Paul prays that believers may have the power to grasp Christ's love. He prays for believers to be given the strength to comprehend and to know the love of Christ. This speaks of love that flows from God to us and not our love to God. It is the love that we have received from God, that we receive from God. God's love for believers in Christ is so great. If you are a believer today, God loves you. He loves you like he loves his son. Think about that. He looks at you and treats you like he treats his son, like he treats Christ. He wants you to know and to understand his love. And the word translated comprehend in the ESV has the sense of grasping something. When you comprehend something, you grasp something and you're making it your own after striving for it. What Paul is talking about here is not just mere head knowledge. It's not to say, no, I know it. That makes sense. It is something that is not, this is not something that is of intellect, but it's of experience poured out into our hearts by the power of God. Not dependent on us, it's poured into our hearts by the power of God, who enables us to see it and to taste it by his Spirit as we live our lives before him and before others. You cannot talk about what you heard when you have come to grasp this love, but of what you know personally from your experience, be it through trials or triumph. You have come to comprehend, or you have come to grasp something when you understand it in its all fullness, when you have understood it in all its dimensions. And that is its breadth, its length, its height, and its depth. We see there that Paul prays that we may comprehend with all the saints the love of Christ, the breadth, the length, the height, and depth. This speaks of all the dimensions that are there. He prays that through God's power, believers may comprehend the love of Christ, everything about it, in its completeness. He wants believers to grow to a greater appreciation and an understanding of Christ's love for them. We need this power to help us to come to that understanding. Without God's self, like I said, we cannot attain it. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because Paul tells us, it is because Christ's love is beyond human understanding. Because Christ's love for us is love that surpasses knowledge. It is beyond our human reason. It is not something that we can say, let me sit down and try to figure it out. It is dependent on God and not on our doing. It is not dependent on how clever we are, how popular we are, how powerful we are. We need God's help to be able to comprehend it. It is dependent on God and not our doing. So Paul prays that believers may have the power to know what cannot be known We will spend eternity marveling at God's love for us. For years and years and years and years, we will still be scratching and marveling at how much God has loved us. But Paul knows God is able to do this, because God is still at work right now in our lives. Otherwise, he will not pray for it. And God desires that we come to understand that love and how much he loves us. He does not want us to be condemned. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to give the enemy the opportunity to press us down when we fail. Because we think we're so bad. We're so bad at people. Christ has already died for our sins. No one is to dare to condemn us, Romans tell us. We are loved by God. We fail, we stumble. Yes, we are on this side of heaven, and that is why we continue to struggle. But God is working in us, to form in us, to conform in us to his Son, to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is working this in us as we trust him, as we live our lives before him. And Paul says, we need God's power to understand that love. That regardless of what we face, regardless of what we come across in our lives, we can stand firm knowing we are accepted by God. Nothing can separate us from this love of God. And God, by his power, just works and continues to work and continues to work this love in our lives. The creator of the universe has sent his Son to die for us. And not only so, he has given us the Spirit. And he uses different ways and different seasons in our lives to bring us to a greater appreciation of his love for us. Paul wants believers to comprehend Christ's love corporately. And we see this in verse 18. It says, with all the saints. We can know of the love of God individually, but we have the opportunity to see more in community, in the church, with other believers. When we do, it unites us, it excites us. We see how God works in us, in others, in us through them, and in them through us. And in this way, it grows us to a greater appreciation of his love when we are participating with other believers. And that is what he's doing in the church, bringing, taking out all the divisions that are there. No more Jew, no more Gentile, no more men, no more women, no more slave, no more free. All is one in Christ and can live together, experiencing the love of God, celebrating and enjoying it together as we live in community. And Paul says, he wants this to be the reality for us as believers, everywhere, all the time. But for what? For what? Why does Paul want us to understand this love? Why does he want us to have the power to comprehend and to know this love? What does it do when we have the love of God and understanding the love of God, comprehending it, the way God wants us to understand it? What does it do? Verse 19, at the end of verse 19, we see that it is so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the purpose. That is the purpose of it all. Being filled with the fullness of God. That is the end of it all, to be godlike. He wants us to grow to be godlike. Can we have more than enough of God? Can we say we have more than enough of God? No. We need more and more and more of God in us, that he would indwell us and make us complete. Is this talking about us having all the attributes of God in us?
us being like God in every way. No. And look with me at chapter number 4, verse 13. Chapter number 4, verse 13. There Paul talks about the gifts that God gave to the church, especially ministers for the purpose of building the body of Christ, which is the church. He says, for what? It's until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. For what? To mature to manhood, to the measure of the full, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we read there in chapter number 4, when Paul is looking at the gifts that God has given to the ministers in the church. It's for the building up of the people of God in the church. The goal to be attained here is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, when you go to chapter number 5, verse 18, Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Chapter number 4, it says we need to be filled with the fullness of Christ. And chapter number 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So we see from this passage that what Paul has in mind is for believers to be made to be more godlike, to be as godlike as possible, having the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, filled with the Spirit. This is exactly what God has predestined us for. This is what He has predestined believers for. That is to be conformed to the image of His Son. And this speaks of our maturity. God wants us to conform to the image of His Son. Paul wants believers to be given the power to know the love of God, so that they may reach full maturity. As we have Christ indwelling us, taking His place in our hearts, us rooted and grounded in love, as we have the power of God helping us to comprehend, to understand how much God so loves us, Paul says, from there we'll be able to grow to full maturity, because we'll be able to live our lives from a point of a good understanding of what God has done for us. Do you want to grow in your walk with God? Desire and pray that God may give you the power to know Christ's love. Knowing God's love will compel you to live in a manner worthy of Christ. Christ's love will rule you. This is what Paul will move to in this book when he gets to chapter number 4, starting from verse 1. But before it gets to what we need to do, what we should not do, how we need to live in a manner worthy of our calling, he says, whoa, he prays that we may understand God's love. He wants us to first understand God's love. It's not about what we do. We live from a point of understanding of how much God has loved us, how much God loves us, how much God will continue to pour out grace upon grace for eternities and eternities in our lives, forever and ever. That's what we need for us to be able to be firm and firmly built, strong and well established as believers, not shaken. There are a lot of things that happen that blow us, that won't blow us, but we are firm, we're established. We grow to that full maturity from an understanding of who we are before God. We are loved. The love of Christ is what compelled Paul to live the way he lived. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 tells us that, and that's how he even did his ministry. He was compelled by the love of Christ. We will not attain to the full measure of Christ on this side of heaven. But by the power of God, He is working in us to bring us to it day by day. And so we should pray, asking for His help. We know we're going to get to glory. Oh, how we look forward, and how we should look forward to that time when we are made to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. where we are made in full to conform to Christ, without having to struggle with the things that we struggle, without having to face sin the way we face sin, the way we struggle here on the side of heaven. Glory is coming. We will be made finally and fully to be like the Son. But that doesn't stop us from praying while we are on this side, asking God to give us the power that we may be able to mature, that we may be able to face life from that point of understanding who we are in God. When we know this, when we have God indwelling us and knowing His love for us, though we fall, we will always get up, because we know He is at work in us. Though we are weak, we know in Him we are strong, and He is forever by our side. We never walk alone. Though we are discouraged, we know He cares for us and calls us to take up our cross and to follow Him. Though we face trials, we know He is for us, and He will use trials for our good and His glory. Though our outer self is wasting away, inwardly we are renewed as we fix our eyes on the crown of glory. Church, let us pray for these things for ourselves. Let's ask God to give us this power to understand His love, that it may rule us and control us, bring us to the full maturity. May this be what we desire for ourselves and for others as we begin this year. Let us not give the enemy room to condemn us when we stumble in our walk. Christ has already died and paid for our sins. There's no one to condemn. God does not want us to beat ourselves and weigh ourselves down because we are not perfect. He knows we are not perfect. We are not perfect, and we know we will be made perfect in heaven. And that's why we strive to be more and more like Christ, racing without looking back, without being entangled by anything. We press forward. We are on this side of heaven because God is still working in us. And let us not pretend as if God doesn't want us to work in us. Let us not push back on what God is trying to do, wanting to be perfect. The reason we are here is because He's still at work in us. So let us not beat ourselves and condemn ourselves because we want to be perfect. Yeah, God is working, and He knows what He's doing exactly at what time in your life. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to condemn you, to weigh down on you. We will be made like Christ, and that is what we look forward to. But for now, we depend on God's help to grow us. And we grow by understanding and comprehending His love for us in Christ. God is able, and not only so, but He is willing. And that is why Paul prays and can come to God as the Father who has abundance and abundance of resources to say, Lord, I know Your purpose. I know why You have saved these men. I know why You have called them, building them up together into Your dwelling. God, I ask that You be able to give them the strength that they may have Christ dwelling in them, controlling them. He says, Lord, I pray that You give them the power that they may understand Your love, so that Your love can rule them and help them live to maturity, attaining to that full maturity. And Paul is not done, but when he gets to verse number 20 and verse number 21, towards the end there, Paul ends this section by bursting once again into praise. God, Paul is just excited by God and what God is doing. God is able to do what Paul is praying for believers because of the power that is at work. And God is able to do it beyond what we can ask or what we can think, he says. So Christ may help us. So church, we can pray this for ourselves and for others with confidence. We should love this. We should want this. Should desire this for ourselves and for others. If there be anything that we should be praying for ourselves for, this is what we should pray. If there's one thing that we want to pray for others, let's pray this for them. And it's not that we may boast in ourselves when we live life and we're able to deal with certain issues in our life, maybe sin. But it's so that God may receive all the glory as his purpose in Christ and in the church are realized. It is for the honor and glory of God. We are saved not for ourselves, but for God. It is in us that God just displays who he is. His kindness, his love, his grace and mercy to the praise of his glory. God saved us for himself and is working in us to accomplish his purposes and which for which he has saved us for. So church, let us pray and ask God to give us this power, for we need it. Looking at everything that is going on around the world, what can make us to be established and to be firm? What can make us to still be able to give of ourselves to others? It's the power of God that helps us have Christ control us, that helps us understand the love that God has loved us with, the love that God pours in our hearts. And that is my prayer for us today. And that is what I hope you desire for yourself and for others today. That God would give you and would give us as Living Hope Church the power that we need to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to you. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have resources and resources in abundance available, made for us, secured for us in Christ. How encouraging that is, oh God. I pray and I ask, Lord, that we would look to you, we would come to you, for you are a Father who cares, a Father who is always open to welcome us, a Father who desires for us to pray to you. Lord, help us to not depend on ourselves. Help us not to follow the world, but to love Christ and desire Christ and to be ruled by Christ's necessary will. We pray this in his name. Amen.